Deutschlandfunk, Medias Res.
Why do you think it is time to suspend the relationship with the president now?
Well, a lot of the patterns and rituals in Washington reporting depended on certain assumptions about how presidents would behave. Presidents are usually elected in the United States with 50-60% of the vote. And then after they win, they try and govern for the entire nation and bring some people who didn't vote for them over to their side. And the presidential approval ratings were the scorecard of how we knew if the president was attracting people who didn't vote for him. But Donald Trump behaves in a completely different way. He tries to polarize or divide the country and then claim the bigger half. And we've never had a president who was a polarizer like that, at least in the modern era. So a lot of things that journalists did don't necessarily make sense with this president.
It is a dilemma. If the AfD, for example, our right-wing party here in Germany, says something unsayable, something way beyond the political correctness, or uses framing, journalists cannot ignore it because we see it as our duty as journalists to report on political outrageousness. Is there a way out of this dilemma?
Well, there's not a way out of it, but I think there are things that journalists can do. I think the solution of asking AfD leaders for their plans to improve healthcare and solve the pension crisis and other complex governing problems like that, what is a good strategy? I've also recommended that journalists create a gaslight desk. A gaslight desk means things that are said only to produce press coverage or to make you doubt earlier things that the president said or to continue a kind of war with journalists. Things that are in that category should be treated separately as kind of a circus and labeled as part of that circus. So that's another thing that I think journalists can do. But this problem of how do you treat attention-getting politicians without ignoring them and helping them is a very real problem.
I remember your advice shortly after the inauguration of Trump 2017. Your advice was send the interns to the White House. Why?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was clear to me after the first day of the Trump presidency that the Trump administration intended to use journalists as hate objects and was going to try and appeal to its base, its core supporters, by putting down the journalists who are gathered in the White House and who are present in the briefing room during White House briefings. And since it was clear that the Trump government was going to use journalists as hate objects, it made sense to me to take the more experienced people who know a lot about how Washington works and put them on the outside, try to get them doing outside in reporting, and use the less experienced people at the White House because there was going to be very little good information coming from the White House, and it's proven to be even worse than we thought. So after thinking about this for a long time in the case of Donald Trump, I think the only way that journalists can avoid serving his agenda is to have a very clear agenda of their own that they can return to and keep consulting instead of getting caught in these attention games that populist politicians are very good at.
You said that journalists should have their own agenda. What should the press look at instead?
Well, I think the only place that agenda can come from is from the people you are trying to inform. So in the case of election coverage, I've said that the press's agenda should result from asking the public you are trying to inform, what do you want the candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? If you can get an answer from the people you serve, the readers, the audience, the listeners, the viewers, on what do you want the candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes, that can be the agenda that anchors your coverage. and prevents you from getting swept away by Trump's hurricane of lies and distortions.
Can we talk about Trump's lies? There have been more than 10,000. I think it seems as if he lies.
12,000.
12,000 even. It seems as if he lies just to get the press going on the fact-checking train instead of reporting on the things he wants to hide. Is that correct, in your opinion, to think about it this way?
I think the fact-checking system has been broken by Trump. Glenn Kessler, who is the fact-checker for The Washington Post, has said that previous presidents, when they were fact-checked by the press, would stop saying the thing that was incorrect, or they would remove it from their speech, or they would change it so that it was factually true. Trump not only doesn't do any of that, but he often repeats a false claim and uses the tension with the press to appeal to his core supporters. So I think in this case, with 12,000 false statements already counted by the Washington Post and others, we can say that fact-checking isn't working the way it once did with Donald Trump.
Do you think that the media are part of the problem? Because they all have like a news journalism ethics, and they cling to this ethics?
Yes, one way you could say it is that Trump has hacked the press system, because his attention-getting techniques do appeal to everything that makes something news. They're outrageous, they imply conflict, they are colorful, they're surprising, they are sometimes unprecedented, and they make for good television, and they're fun to argue about. And so in many ways, Donald Trump has taken advantage of a very well-known formula for newsworthiness. And the only way to get out of that cycle for journalists is to actually reconsider what is newsworthy. But it's very difficult for an institution like that, which doesn't really have any central organization or no one in charge. There's no address. You can't go to the media and visit the media, because it's not actually an institution that can change its mind. And in that situation, it's very difficult for journalists to move from one practice to another, even if they know that their practice is broken.
I often have the impression as if populism, Trump / AFD / right-wing politicians forever altered the way journalism works. Is that correct?
It's definitely possible, because some of their methods are working. And if it is proven that you can generate political momentum by attacking the news media as elites and out of touch and part of the system, as AFD says, and that argument continues to work for voters, then we will see more of that kind of politics.
Sometimes I think that journalists are ripe fruits on the tree, just to be picked.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of bad habits built up over the years, and the press is paying the price for them now. An example would be political journalists in the United States, long time ago, decades ago, became extra fascinated in the inside game of politics. Who's up and who's down? Who are the winners and the losers? How does the political system try to appeal to this kind of voter and that kind of voter? And this idea that political reporting is sort of getting inside the machine and trying to decode the game for readers, listeners, and viewers, that kind of journalism has, I think, helped create this situation, because it persuaded the public that journalists were sort of part of the political class, part of the insider world themselves. And this has proven to be one of the facts that Trump took advantage of.
And the journalists considered themselves as well being part of the machinery, the power system.
Mm-hmm.
True. So
look at the way that the press works with the German parliament. I mean, they're very aligned institutions in many ways.